You might want to turn in your Bible to Matthew chapter 13 for a moment. And perhaps we can look to the Lord in prayer. And our God and Father, we have opened thy word, so we're ready to listen. God, thank you. Thank you very much. So help us with heaven ear to hear, a heart to understand and to learn. And our God, we're going to be thankful very, very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. So as we let God speak to us, which is what we do each time, we let God's word speak to us. I don't want to speak to you. God has to. So what's he say? That's what we do. Point after point, what does God have to say? Therefore, in Matthew 13, we did the parables, which help us very much to understand the day in which we live. And we shared together in verse 13:9, who hath an ear to hear, who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And then verse 16, blessed are your eyes, the disciples, blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. So God's gonna help them, give them instruction. And chapter 13, when it's all done, God tells them they have an awesome stewardship. And in verse 51, Jesus saith unto them, have you understood all these things? And they said, yes, they did, but they didn't. Then said he unto them, therefore every scribe which is instructed into the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, in charge of the house, in charge of the storeroom, in charge of the supplies, which bringeth forth out of his treasure, the storehouse, things new and old. So we did this now. Now, over if you would to 1 Corinthians, and keeping in mind one other point that will help us, in 1 Corinthians in chapter 4, in the light of the mysteries, which we did last time, let a man, chapter 4, verse 1, let a man so account of us as the ministers of Christ and as stewards of the mysteries of God. And ministry is the word deacons, waiting on God's word, exercising God's word. And then we go to the word stewardship, and stewardship has to do, as we shared, under rowers. Think of the Roman, Greek vessels and warships, etc. And the deck is one thing, but down in the below deck are all the little portholes where the oars stick out, and that's where the under rowers they aren't up on top. They're rowing, and that's what they do. The command is from the top, and they're under rowers, and they're moving. As they move through time, that's what they're doing. And on top, everyone knows what's going on, as it were, the captain, and all that's taking place. Down below, they're just staying with it, representing the movement. They're keeping the ship moving, keeping the ship going on course. So the under rowers are to be stewards, that's believers, of the mysteries of God. God is outworking all those parables, the sower, the seed, and all of the, God's outworking all of that. And it's taking place. We're down below and we're just moving. We represent, we're carrying believers, carrying Christ as he outworks. While we carry, we're showing the grace of God. Who's in charge? The Lord Jesus Christ is in charge. And as he's in charge, how do you know he's in charge? Look at the body of believers. The body of believers represent the Lord Jesus Christ, the under rowers. The world, we don't know all the things that are taking place, but God does. Now, so therefore, verse 2, moreover, it is required of stewards under rowers that a man be found faithful. And you don't sit there when they says row, you row. Stop, you stop. And you move. And so we represent God in a most wonderful, wonderful way. To see this in the church, Acts chapter 4, in Acts in chapter 4, picking up, and you will note directly, if I can, verse 33. Here's the church verse 33. And with great power gave the apostles witness of what? This is the assembly, assembled together, had great power. Remember, all power is given to me, Acts 1:8, that we can be his witnesses. With great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and great grace was upon them all. So that's what are we doing. We're representing the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. We gather together as a body, as we've shared. We gather together as the body to represent the Lord Jesus Christ. What are we representing about the Lord Jesus Christ? It's a time of grace before wrath. That's what we're doing. We're representing the grace of God before the wrath of God comes. And he's giving time, all of this time so far, to go down the corridor of time. And we're rowing, that's our job, and going down the corridor. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, now, go, and you, if you didn't get that, a little more. In Colossians in chapter 1 and in verse 26 and 27, you can do it just to keep yourself alert, you know. And in Colossians, and in chapter 1. And Colossians chapter 1, picking up, if I can, in verse 26. Even the mystery which has been hid from ages, no one ever heard of such a thing. What? That God, they knew God had to become a man to die on Calvary's cross, born in Bethlehem of Judea. Impossible that God could have and find his home in a human heart. Impossible. Mystery. Never, never. The mystery which had been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest, clear, public, plain to the saints, to us believers. What about all the neighbors, all the people that go to work with you? They aren't going to get it. They aren't going to get it. It's with thee, even for believers, to understand God in whose presence we are is in us. And we're in him. That's why we're safe. Now, hang on. Verse 27, to whom God would make known what is the riches to the saints, what is the riches of the glory of this mystery, even among them, among the Gentiles, mystery among the Gentiles, but to be a testimony, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So, church, bearing resurrection, showing the resurrected Christ, Christ in the believing heart, is there able to show, as it were, he's outworking everything, and the believing believers, the world doesn't understand the local church, but, and they're out there working in all of the, like we mentioned this morning, the world system is doing its thing. as it does its thing, it has no consciousness of God. But the local church, the believers in Christ, are bearing a testimony, a little light in a very dark world, a little light so that they know God's busy and we're the under rowers. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind if I can, now let's put that together in a fresh way. Over to John chapter 16. In the Gospel of John in chapter 16, remember in the upper room as we've been doing it in the morning worship, and here we have, as we did, chapter 16, he ends that wonderful section before his prayer in verse 33. And what does he sum up, all of it? He sums it up, verse 33. These things have I spoken. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me, in Christ, you might have peace. That you might have peace. In the world, ye shall have tribulation, trouble, squeezing, and all of opposition. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. So he's encouraging the disciples as they go. They're going to, as my Father sent me, so send I you. Just talked about it. It's the local church bearing witness that Christ has risen again from the grave, Christ in the believing heart. Here we are assembled together to show the wonderful resurrected life of Christ, showing the grace of God. That's how we got saved. Now, having said that, so here we are in the world, and the world, God says that your journey is going to be in the midst of tribulation and trouble. So, now, as we go, going back and running through history quickly, think of Noah. And Noah had God gave them 120 years, and the population was huge because no one was dying. So you got huge population, as it were. And so in the process, in that wonderful, wonderful time for Noah, as it were. And so Noah goes forward, and in the God is going to go, and Noah walked with God, 6 and 8 and that. And what did he do? Noah found grace. That's what he did. It's a terrible time, but Noah found grace. What is our assignment? To show the grace of God. And Noah found grace back then, and as Noah found grace in a very troubling world, and they had no interest in whatsoever, Genesis 6:5 and that, they did evil continually. They didn't. It just manifested more and more and more. More and more and more without God. Trouble. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord and built the ark, etc. And God honored that. God honored it. Now, and so after that, you remember in Genesis 11 and 1 and that, after the Genesis flood, here's Abraham, but we're going to have the Tower of Babel, and they build the tower in the city. Now, the tower in the city to replace worship of God, stars, sun, moon, and demons, and all of that. And we have the tower, and then we have the city, like in chapter 4 and 17, Cain built the city, etc. And the city makes us all function in all our needs, because we're very smart, us humans back then, and very smart, to say the least. And in the process, so we did everything. We have the cities. We have a city and tower, religion. God did what? He didn't clobber them again. He told them he would not flood the earth again. So God isn't going to flood the earth. God's going to let the thing all work out. And God does what? He scatters them. When he scattered them, Their heart wasn't fixed. Their mind wasn't fixed. They went, and Genesis 10, all the nations, and they went and built their cities and their religious systems. So you turn the pages of history, you got all the nations, and you got the religious system. That's what you got. So far, it's trouble and trouble. The Lord Jesus said in John 16, in the world, you're going to have trouble. As long as you're in the world. So we go back from Noah, and we go through the Genesis 11. And then we come to Genesis 18, 19, just to stop. And things are going not good in Sodom and Gomorrah, and that's where Lot goes. In Sodom and Gomorrah, and it gets bad. It's bad, and then it gets bad, bad. And then God goes and judges Sodom and Gomorrah. And just to see that in a little different way, over to Luke chapter 17. And in Luke and chapter 17, picking up, if I can, and you will note, 17, verse 25. But first, I'll have to read verse 24 for a little bit of his coming. For as the lightning that lighteth out of the one part of under heaven shineth unto the other part under heaven, lightning flashing through the sky, so shall the Son of Man be in his day. But first, before that, must he suffer many things, be rejected of his generation, and he's crucified. Verse 26. And as it was in the days of Noah, the crucified. Now, remember what we just read in John 16:33. In the world, you're going to have tribulation, trouble, opposition, so don't be surprised. Verse 26. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. The day of grace is going to be in opposition, the Gentiles, the Jews, unsaved, and the whosoever's get saved. It's the same. Noah got saved. Here we are. Now, verse 27. They did eat. They drank. They married wives. They were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Now, God is going back and telling you, like it was in the days of Noah, it didn't get any better. It didn't get any better. So after the crucifixion, it just kept going, the same mood and movement. Now, so therefore, verse 28, likewise also as it was in the days of Noah, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. Everyone carried on their general lifestyle, communism, socialism, America, whatever you want to do, Marxism, whatever you're going on. But the same day, verse 29, that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. So God said, like in the days of Noah, we're going through the age of grace, and it's in the world, you're going to have tribulation. It isn't going to get better. It's going to get more difficult and darker. But be of good cheer. As to be Sodom, illustration, in the days of Noah, it looked good. Everything was doing everything. Everyone was doing religiously, politically, and all of that. Doing what they do, for all the reasons they do it, global warming, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. All the reasons that motivate them. But in that day, verse 29, the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Everything looks good. They say it can't be. Ah. And he says, I want you to remember, how did he get it? As in the days of Noah, they thought everything was okie-dokie. But it wasn't okie-dokie. And everything looked normal, and the systems will work. Everything will work out wonderful. but it won't, as in the days of Sodom. Therefore, verse 30, and has destroyed them all. Verse 30, even this shall be, it be, thus shall it, even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, verse 31, he which shall be upon the housetop and the and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. In other words, when think of Matthew 20, 24, when the Antichrist puts that image, if you read that little image, giant, when all of that happens, God said, you run as fast as you can. Don't you get an extra pair of socks? Forget your lunch. As fast as you can, get out of this city. As fast as you can get out. Because you'll never get out if you don't. You've got to go fast. Now, and thus, Lot and his wife, family, two sisters, daughters, were released out of the city. Let him not come down, etc. Verse 32. And the little word, remember Lot's wife. And remember, they were to leave without Genesis 19. All of that details are there. They were to leave the city. And as fast as they could, look to get out of the city to the mountains that were out there, and to get as fast as you can across the flat to those mountains. And you get there as fast as you can. Don't look back. And then they left. The angels took them out, got them out of the city, and were helping them, holding their hands, helping them get out. And they're on their way, and you know what Lot's wife did. Lot's wife, she didn't want to leave Sodom. Lot. And she didn't want to leave. And God turned her to a pillar of salt. And she was there for years and years and years. As a monument, people could go visit. See the pillar of salt. See the pillar of salt. Wow. And Sodom and Gomorrah became the plush land down in the bottom of the Dead Sea, became barren. Now, having said that, and here's Lot, and Lot is going to go, and again, Lot leaves the city. And if we didn't know any better in 1 Peter, 2 Peter chapter 2, if we didn't know any better, well, we would I assume Lot wouldn't be saved, except Abraham prayed, if one righteous, 10 righteous, whatever. He went to 10, but if he went down to 1, God would have said, I'm going to save one person in this case. I'm going to save one, the righteous man. Who's the righteous man? Lot. We don't read his wife as righteous, and we don't read his two daughters are righteous, but he is. And he is the umbrella why they get out. Noah built the ark, and he got the 8 people. Noah is the righteous man. We don't read the others. That doesn't mean they weren't saved in that, or trusting God, but they just didn't have, they weren't the centerpiece. Now, having said it, that little bit, and keeping that in mind, so here's Noah, and we're going, and God's going to tell him it's going to be just like in the days of Noah, when I come. Now, and we also know in Mark chapter 7, you know, well, you can turn there for the sake of doing that too. Mark chapter 7, and in verse 18. And so in chapter 7, verse 18, God, like in the Galatians chapter 5, 19, 20, 21, the works of the flesh, here they are, differently said. And sliding, if I can, just picking up very quickly in verse 20, it isn't what comes out of you, it isn't what you eat, it isn't what you do. It's something, it's inside of us. The problem we have is an internal one. We're born with an eternal, we're born with a problem that we can't get rid of, I should say. It's part of our nature. It's our old nature, and we can't get rid of it. And it isn't what we eat. It isn't what we exercise. It's the problem. Where's evil? Where is it? And as you read verse 20, he said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth a man. What comes out of the inside? For from within, out of the heart of man, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. Underline 23. All these evils come from within and defile a man. So that's our problem. It's a human problem. That's why it doesn't go away. That's why we just said this morning, I tried to remind us, people are being bombarded with absurdities to try to manage their life in a common sense way when common sense is thrown out the window. Now, how do you manage your life in a common sense, rational way when you're told to be irrational in your thinking? Now, you can't. So, and what's that going to do? It's going to trigger out, well, we got an old nature. And if I get any kind of anything and you mess up my mind, or even worse, it's going to express itself. Therefore, in the light of that, here's the evil. The evil's not going away. We read in Jeremiah chapter 30 in our study on Wednesday in that, the time of Jacob's trouble. The tribulation. Israel is headed for what? Tribulation. That's where it's going. It isn't interested. Is Israel looking for peace? No, they're very conscious of their dilemma, surrounded by the enemy and having little to no resource until the Antichrist comes. They have none. So here's Israel looking out there. And it's trouble. Israel's in trouble right now. They only see trouble. All they're headed for is tribulation. That's all in their head. They don't have anything else. The liberals are there. The conservative are there. The orthodox are there. They're all there in one form or another. But that's the outlook. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, over to Isaiah. And in Isaiah chapter 48, and God says, if you would note, Isaiah chapter 48, and you will note, I'm going to go directly to the end for time's sake, to the end. Verse 20, go ye forth of Babylon, and flee ye from the Chaldeans, with a voice of singing, and declare and tell ye this, utter it even to the end of the earth, say ye, the Lord hath redeemed the servant of Jacob, etc. Keeping in mind, verse 22, there is no peace, saith the Lord unto the wicked. There's only trouble. Trouble and troubled minds, troubled hearts in trouble. In the world, you're going to have tribulation. It's not going to stop. The human heart is evil. It's got all the stuff that makes the system like it is from our human heart. And if you don't fix the human heart, you've got the problems perpetuated. Now, you're in Isaiah 57, and God will say it again. It's the wicked, the unsaved. We just read about the heart, and the heart is going to go and demonstrate itself in a most awesome way. So therefore, here's Isaiah 57, picking up please in verse 19. I create the fruit of the lips, peace, peace to him that is far off, to him that is near, saith the Lord. I will heal him, but the wicked are like the troubled sea, when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. Verse 21. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. It just isn't there. You're not going to get it. Israel, be at peace and be happy. I can't. You can't find it. So our world, trying to find whatever, And that's why people do what they do in part, weird, bad things, because I can't find a solution. I have no solution. And you do what you do. Now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, over to 1 Thessalonians. And in 1 Thessalonians, picking up, if I may, and you will note, now, the Thessalonians got saved. There was great persecution, like in Jerusalem, similar to that. They were in northern Greece, lots of persecution. And in the process, they got saved in a most wonderful way. And in the process of getting saved, remember, the human heart houses idolatry. It's part of our old nature. So when they got saved, verse 9, for they themselves, 1:9, for they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and only living and true God. They turned around. They turned around, wow. And what were they doing? They understood that God had saved them, like in John 16:33, in the world you're going to have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. So we read verse 10 then. That's what they got. How quick did it happen? Very quick. How long did it take them? 10 years to get this? No. Could have taken them 10 minutes. Therefore, verse 10, and to wait, turn to idols, from idols, and to wait for the Son, his Son out from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered them to us from the wrath of God. That's what it did. So what do we represent? God's grace. What's coming? Wrath. And we shared in John 3:36, the wrath of God sitting here, swinging, said for a thousand times, swinging like a pendulum. And the whole world, pendulum goes back and forth, and here's the whole world. Pendulum keeps going down, coming closer, closer, less and less grace, less and less time. Wow. For what? The wrath of God. So therefore, what did they know right off, right in the beginning? They knew they were rescued from the wrath of God in God's wonderful grace. And therefore, you will note, please, in chapter 2, and verse 19, for what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? So the whole mood, the whole understanding was the Lord Jesus Christ is coming. Hang on to that. So that's what they're looking for. They expect that. Chapter 3. And in chapter 3, we are reminded, to the end that he may establish our hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all the saints. And so they're just reminded again and again. Chapter 4. And we know that all of these are truth. Chapter 4, verse 13, we're looking for the Lord's coming, and God is going to call us. In verse 15, for we say unto you by the word of the... Well, let me get that in verse 13. I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which sleep, that you sorrow not, even as others, which have no hope. That isn't, you aren't under that. You aren't under that system. God is giving you a wonderful, wonderful expectation. What? God's rescued you from the wrath of God, which is coming. Wow. And you're waiting for him. But he's going to rescue you. That's what you know. And you're going to say it, God, in your writing, Thessalonians, each time. So therefore, God is looking for that. And down to verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up with force, vigor, energy, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. So God, to meet the Lord in the air. That's what we're going to meet the Lord in the air. That's what we're going to do. And not like the days of Noah, that we are in, it's going to repeat itself. But that's trouble and troubling, a troubled, troubling world. But for us, for the believing heart, what were they told? They were told to get saved, and God's going to take us into his wonderful presence. And we're to never forget and understand our living is what? We're living in the light of the fact we aren't going to go through the grace of God, which is coming. You're going to be safe. So we live another week, another day, another hour from the grace of God, which is coming, and from the wrath of God, which is coming. Now, having said that, and therefore, ever be with the Lord, wherefore comfort one another, verse 18, with these words. And so God, and we do that. So now, over in chapter 5 and verse 9, for God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtaining salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, verse 10, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, it doesn't matter whether we live another day or don't, we should be live together with him. So we're looking to be with him. That's what we're looking for. That's the whole point, a point, as we proceed down the corridor of time, we're looking to be with him. Now, having got that, they're encouraged. And then they look out the window, because they're early on in the early church. They're early back here in history. And so they're looking, and then here's, boy, it isn't getting any better. And you read Timothy and Titus and Peter and Jude, apostasy, bad. It goes, the church should have been so Acts 1:8, powerful, but it isn't. It's getting clipped. And therefore we wonder. We're looking for the Lord's return and watching what's happening with the Roman Empire and all of that, Jews. And we're looking, so we say, wow. 2 Thessalonians. So the second letter. And in the second letter, what do we know? Now they believed God. And here's the second letter. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, fitting, because of your faith, body of truth that you're believing. Your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you, all towards each other, is abounding. So they have a wonderful, wonderful, they're knowing, they're learning. It's a college of hard knocks, but they're learning. Verse 4. So that we ourselves glory in you, in the churches of God, for your patience, bearing up under the load and that, and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations which that you endure. And they understanding, even though they're looking, the world around them isn't getting better, and it's a troubling, troubling day. And they got trouble with each other in their heart, and they got trouble in the world, and they're looking. And they say, well, God, you saved us from your wrath. That's true. But it isn't time for the wrath. It's coming. It's still the grace of God. And therefore, what do we live in? We live in a troubled world like Noah did. Now, sliding over if I can, verse 5. Which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which ye also sought. In other words, you're having to live through this, and it's only God. Here's Noah, back to Noah, 115 years. Now, 115 years ago by. Now, God, are you justified in judging the whole world in the Genesis flood? Absolutely. But God, you're going to what? I'm going to wait for 120. I gave him 120. I gave space for the grace of God. and I'm going to give it. And when I'm done with it, I'm taking you up. But in the meantime, you're going to live in that troubled, troubling world. Now, having said that, sliding over if I can, verse 6, seeing it is a righteous thing that God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. It isn't going to go away. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. So God, it's going to come. And so be of good cheer. I told you, it's coming, the wrath of God. But you're saved from the wrath of God. Now the trouble was, they went down and looked, they heard, here's God writing this letter, and we're reading it, to straighten up, understand the world's like it is. So therefore, the question arises in the mind, what about it? We're waiting for his coming. Okay, chapter 2, verse 2, that you be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, don't be all upset, neither in my spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that day of Christ is at hand. It's coming. The day, terrible day of his wrath. But it isn't now. It isn't now. The man of sin has to be revealed. The church has to be, what you're waiting for has to happen. God has to take us up. Now, having said that, that gives us, so they understand, the mystery. We understand the mysteries. We're chapter 2, and in verse 2, that you be not so soon shaken in mind or troubled. I just read it. Now, verse 7, what's happening? For the mystery, it's a mystery. What's happening? So you say, boy, shouldn't we find, they have to finish out the grace of God before the wrath of God. And therefore, verse 7, the mystery of iniquity, lawlessness, doth already work. Only he, the Spirit of God, who now hindereth, until he be taken out of the way. And the Spirit of God said, it isn't time for the wrath of God yet. In Noah's day, it wasn't 120 years, it was 119 years. And you had to wait another year. You had to wait another year. God, the wrath, it isn't time for the wrath of God. No, not yet. Not yet. And therefore, it's a mystery. So the mysteries, we're supposed to understand them. Law, the mystery of lawlessness. Now, having said that, we pick up, sliding down, if I can, verse 9. Even him, Antichrist, etc., false prophet, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with power and signs and lying wonders. Think of the giant and all that stuff. Miracles, wow. Got to tell you. Verse 10. And with all the deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. They don't want to be saved. You'd think they want to be saved. 119 years to be thinking. Don't you want to be saved? No. Noah's going to finish his ark. No. Verse 11. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion. And that, what is that? That they should believe a lie of the falsehood. Verse 12. That they all might be damned who believed not the truth and had pleasure in unrighteousness. They didn't want to believe. They didn't want to believe. The wrath of God isn't stopped. It was always there. It just lowered down. Very close. Very close. The church were waiting to go up. Now, having said that, so here's the Thessalonians. They're struggling. And we're trying to look at it to understand ourselves. We say, where's the Lord's coming? Where's the Lord's coming? And next thing happens, the next thing happened. Everything's going to happen. You're waiting, rowing down. God, God knows, but we're waiting to go up. That's what we're doing. And our heart isn't to be troubled. Isn't to be troubled. We're in trouble. We're surrounded with trouble. But God is, that trouble isn't our trouble. No, we got saved. And as you know, the Lord is your Savior in a most, most wonderful, wonderful way. Now, having said that, the iniquity of iniquity, lawlessness, sliding over to Revelation and chapter 17. The mystery of lawlessness in the world, no law, the law, the police and all those different things that we shared at this morning, you know. Part of the system's attempt is what? To get, so there is no law and order. So we can let everybody out and the bad guys and everything. So what? You understand. And that's what people are saying. There is no law and there is no rules. There are no, who's going to stop the evil? That's what they say. That's what they want. So that you don't believe there is any law and order. There's nothing going to be fixed. Do you know what that does to a society? When nothing can't be fixed in their mind, that's where it's going. That's what they want. Awesome. But that isn't our problem, because we understand that a little. So we can, it's trouble. Boy, that would trouble me. And I'm sure it would trouble you. But we don't have that kind of thinking because we're resting in God under rowers, and God's doing. It has to be. It's no big surprise about tribulation and trouble and wrath. None at all. Chapter 17, Revelation, is all about Babylon. Remember Genesis 11, the tower and the city? The devil never quit, doesn't quit. Nimrod in chapter 10 and Babylon, etc. And so we come to Nebuchadnezzar and Babylon and the times of the Gentiles and the times of the Gentiles, and we go down to the next thing, the times of the Gentiles, and in the tribulation, what is the religious system, the church included, all of it, what is it going to do? It's going to unite and produce the help these politicians. Remember the tower, religion, the city, politic, Revelation 17, the religion, the city, chapter 18, going to come together, and that's what the politicians are going to use, the religion, to get the have the advantage. You can't go against Catholicism, etc., the Islam. You got to use the system to what? And that's what they're going to do. And therefore, the mystery of lawlessness, chapter 17, and in verse 5. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon, the great, the mother of harlots, abominations of the earth. Her mother of harlots. So the whole system is going to use, the politicians are going to use it, like prostitution, going to use it to gain their end. Now, having said that, here's the mystery of harlot. It's another mystery. Lawlessness outworking itself. Wow. So we're custodians of it. We ought to understand it. We ought to be able to, I got it. Now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, if you would, over, if you can, please, we'll go back there for time's sake. We did what? Well, we looked at the Thessalonians, the Thessalonians. They were looking to go up. They weren't looking to face more trouble, but they had to live through the trouble. We're looking to go up, but we're having to live a little longer in the trouble. And so therefore, a very troubling time, going to get more troubling. But be of good cheer. It isn't our trouble. It's the world's trouble. They have a problem with God. You, if you got saved, you don't have a problem. You shouldn't have a problem with God, because you got saved and know the Lord is your Savior. So therefore, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, in the trouble. John chapter 14. And in John chapter 14, you will note our Lord in the upper room as we did this. Chapter 14, I'm going to go directly to verse 1. In the light of Peter, about Peter's denial and all of that, going to be there before during the day of his trial and crucifixion. Verse 14. Chapter 14, verse 1. Let not your heart be what, dear friend? Don't be troubled. But Peter's going to. Don't be troubled. Don't be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. Why aren't we going to be troubled? In my Father's house are many mansions, abiding places. If it were not so, I would have told you. I don't waste my words, said God. I don't waste words. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, which he did, and that's why you read in my father, we're waiting, for God delivers us from the wrath of God. I go to prepare, verse 3, a place for you, and I will come again to receive you up. Remember what you read in Thessalonians? God catching us up in the clouds with the rest of the believers. In verse 3, to receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may be also. I want you to be where I am in a most wonderful way. That's what I want. Now, having said that, I want you to be there. That's what I'm looking for. Now, how much do you want me to be there? How much? Now, here we are in his presence. We had to wait. Noah had to wait 120 years. You have to wait. Over to chapter 17. And you recall 17, verse 24. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, in my Father's house and many mansions. I want to come and take you to be with me. Why do you want us to be with you? That purpose, that they may behold my glory. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. I want them to see who I am, the glory of who I am. And that's the person that you received as your Savior. And he's an awesome person, God. I want you to see me as I am in you. All you had to do is be trusting me to enjoy the trip. Don't let your heart be troubled. You're going down the corridor in a troubled world. It isn't going to go away. So don't waste your time playing and doing with it. Just thank God you stay on course and honor God's word, honor these understanding, what we're doing, the mysteries, so we understand them, so we aren't stupid down below rowing. We know what we're doing. So now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And 1 Corinthians chapter 15, picking up, please. Our wonderful, wonderful stewardship under rowers, we're to understand. Now, after doing all of those things, you see Christ in you, the hope of glory, Colossians 1:27. Here's 1 Corinthians 15, verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit the incorruption. So you can't bring your body, it's corrupt. It belongs on the earth, it came from the earth, goes back to the earth. But behold, verse 51, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we will all be changed. no one could ever believe that I'm going to go and take you, Christ in us, the hope of glory. We did it, think of Sunday school with Hebrew, in Hebrews, as we ended the great anchor, the anchor, our hope is anchored there. And here we are waiting, wow, and here we are looking. Now God, no one would ever, ever, ever conceived that God in Christ would take us up in his Father's house, in my Father's house, and give us such a relationship. He's going to change us. Remember the old nature, Mark chapter 7, 18, 23, evil? I'm going to get rid of it. And you don't have to worry. You'll never doubt again. You'll never be disappointed. You'll never be discouraged. You'll never have a problem. I'm going to get rid of that. I'm going to change you. That's a mystery. Who could ever believe it? Who could ever believe the mystery of mysteries? You're all going to be changed. And what's so marvelous, verse 52. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Wonderfully, wonderfully changed. So you struggle with things, but you want to be under awe. You want to have on mysteries, understand the mysteries, and understand what's going to happen. And the Thessalonians, be encouraged. They're going to go and die, and we're going to take their place on planet Earth. But they're all there waiting, all waiting for us, for God to finish what he's doing in these days of grace. Now, so in closing, over if you would please, First John. 1 John, and we're looking. They're all going to be changed in the twinkling of an eye. So don't let your heart be troubled. 1 John chapter 3, picking up if I can, verse 1. 3:1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons, the children of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. The world couldn't possibly understand in their blindness, in their unbelief, that you're going to be changed to be like him. But it's impossible. Ah! Verse 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but when we are changed, to know that when he shall appear, taking us up to be transferred, caught up in the air, to be with him, and changed, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. That's what it's going to be. And then, think of Sunday school with the hope and all of that. And in verse 3, and every believing heart, boy, girl, man, woman, every believing heart that hath this hope in him, in Christ. That's why it's all sure, settled, fact, no question. Remember we did in Hebrews again. God put it down and said, it's done. Don't doubt. Don't doubt. Don't doubt it. Now, therefore, in verse 3, and every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. And we're fresh. We got an old nature. We walk in the light as he is in the light. We got all the dumb problems of our flesh, our thoughts, words, and deeds. But we're what? We're looking to be changed. Changed. See, here's my suit. One of the suits from Kmart. And you got it? So here we are. And we got the suit. That's old, rugged. And Jeanette tells me sometimes things are frayed. Whatever frayed means, what do you think frayed means? I don't know. I look at it, I don't see it frayed. You know, what's a little thread coming out? So in the process, here we got the suit. And looking, and I wear the suit every day. I wear the suit. I have to wear the suit under Rowan, believing I wear the same suit. You live in the same body. You live in the same body like I live in the same suit. And you live in the same body, waiting, knowing the suit's going to go and you're going to get a new one. He that hath this hope, you're going to get a new one. That'll keep you going. That'll motivate you. Going to get a new one. That's right. A brand new one. Therefore, in closing again, Titus, you don't have to turn there. Titus 2:13. Titus, blessed. What are we looking for? Titus 2:13. We're looking for that. What kind of hope? A blessed hope. Blessed are your eyes and your ears, because you hear and see. Matthew 13:16. Blessed are your eyes. Blessed are you if you understand these mysteries. Blessed are you. A custodian. It's required of custodians to be faithful. Don't put them aside. God help us. I hope you got a little bit. It's a wonderful thing. You can't be troubled. You're in trouble. The world around you is troubled. But you aren't troubled. No. The peace of God, which what? Passes all understanding. Guard your heart. That's the way. It's the way it is. Shouldn't people upset? I understand. I do. I understand the panic and the thoughts they say about the killings in Texas and more of them come in some form or some fashion. I understand. But, so it isn't a question. It isn't going to happen. It is. It is. Somewhere. Somehow. It's all right. Because we're looking for God. We understand it. We're custodians of understanding. So it doesn't throw us. Our Father and God, we look to you to deal with our heads and our hearts even now. So as we sing, God, as we look to you, thank you, even so come. In Christ's name, if you should tarry and we should live, grant us your wonderful movement. In Christ's name, amen.